The scripture reading today comes from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. You know, the bulletin says verse 5, but let's go all the way back to verse 1 and get a little bit of the backstory. 1 Kings, chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, how he had killed all Baal's prophets with a sword. Jezebel sent a message to Elijah with this message: "May the gods do whatever they want to me if by this time tomorrow I haven't made your life like one of them." Elijah was terrified. He got up and ran for his life. He arrived at Beersheba in Judah and left his assistant there. He himself went further into the desert, a day's journey. He finally sat down under a solitary broom bush. He longed for his own death. "It's more than enough, Lord. Take my life, because I'm no better than my ancestors." He lay down and slept under the solitary broom tree. Then suddenly a messenger tapped him and said to him, "Get up, eat something." Elijah opened his eyes and saw flatbread baked on glowing coals and a jar of water right by his head. He ate and drank, and then went back to sleep. The Lord's messenger returned a second time and tapped him. "Get up," the messenger said. "Eat something, because you have a difficult road ahead of you." Elijah got up and ate and drank. He went, refreshed by that food, for 40 days and nights until he arrived at Horeb, God's mountain. There he went into a cave and spent the night. The Lord's word came to him and said, "Why are you here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I've been very passionate for the Lord God of heavenly forces, because the Israelites have abandoned your covenant. They have torn down your altars. They have murdered your prophets with a sword. And I'm the only one left. Now they want to take my life too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. The Lord is passing by." A very strong wind tore through the mountains and broke apart the stones before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord wasn't in the fire. After the fire, there was a sound. Then, quiet. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his coat. He went out and stood in the cave's entrance. A voice came to him and said, "Why are you here, Elijah?" He said, "I've been very passionate for the Lord God of heavenly forces, because the Israelites have abandoned your covenant. They have torn down your altars. They have murdered your prophets with a sword. I'm the only one left. Now they want to take my life too." The Lord said to him, "Go back through the desert to Damascus and anoint Hazael as king of Aram. Also anoint Jehu, Nimshi's son, the king of Israel, and anoint Elisha from Abel-Melech, Shephat's son, to succeed you as prophet. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. Whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. But I have reserved those who remain in Israel, totaling 7,000, all of those whose knees haven't bowed down to Baal and whose mouths haven't kissed him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we approach the midway point of the Lenten season, let's hear the word of the prophet Jeremiah. "Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the ancient paths. Where is the good way? Then walk in it and find a resting place for yourselves." So today, let's stop for a moment and look around at our desert surroundings for an ancient path that would lead us to a resting place. How about let's walk with Elijah on today's leg of the Lenten journey? Verse 8 of the scripture reading tells us that his path was a 40 days journey. Sounds like a fitting Lenten path to me. The path we find Elijah taking to Horeb is truly an ancient path, walking the very same path Moses had walked Elijah finds himself where Moses had been before him. Horeb is another name for the mountain also known as Sinai. There, God spoke to Elijah just as he had spoken to Moses, saying, "Go climb that mountain." Atop the mountain, as Moses had done before him, Elijah found himself at a crossroads where God was passing by. As it had been for Moses, Horeb became a mountain of revelation for Elijah. Maybe this was God's path more than it was either Moses or Elijah's path. A place in which God continued to make known God's presence and message to all who approached ascending the mountain. Like many who set out, Elijah was all in when the journey began. Verse 3 of the chapter tells us that when Elijah hit the road, he was literally running for his life. But alas, even ancient paths seem to find most travelers growing weary along the way. How you doing on those Lenten disciplines by now, anyway? Now, 40 days in, Elijah's path seems to have come to a dead end. Ready to call it quits, he crawls into a hole in the ground. It seems to have been a gradual thing for Elijah, although the path was an ancient one, although Elijah had begun with fervor, although God had sent angels to care for him along the path, it seems Elijah had grown discouraged and struggled to be able to fully explain why he was there. And although he had technically completed his 40-day journey, Elijah was finding it difficult to hear the message of God. What's the problem? Why couldn't Elijah hear the voice of God? Does it depend on more than the path we choose or how long we stay on that path? Does our Lenten journey depend on more than asking for an ancient path and making a steadfast commitment to it? Lest we arrive at the empty tomb of our Lord after 40 days, depleted and still struggling to hear the voice of God, let's stop at this crossroads to look and ask Elijah to show us the way. Where is the good way? Part of Elijah's issue seems to be other voices that were echoing in his head. The life-threatening cries of Jezebel were all Elijah could hear on the winds of the wilderness. Despite the enormous victory over the prophets of Baal, he had just won in a dramatic showdown at the great Battle of the Altars. The voice of Jezebel rang louder than God's almighty power. Elijah would tell us that it is hard to hear the voice of God when your mind is filled with other voices. Whether it is the sound of our worst fears or other kinds of distractions, our minds are overloaded with noise that make it hard to hear the voice of God. Desert spirituality would teach us that the journey into the desert, places of our own souls, requires climbing a mountain, leaving behind the noise of the world and all else that would hinder our ascent toward an encounter with God. Speaking for many of us, Guy Sales wrote that his own emotional and spiritual landscape sometimes sounds like Times Square on New Year's Eve, or like a kindergarten class on the morning after Halloween, with the kids hyped up on sugar, unable to sit down like church mice, and listen during story time. Regardless of the path, regardless of our commitment to it, it is hard to hear God's voice, to connect to God amidst the noise that fills our days and nights, the noise that fills our ears and our heads. Sales goes on in his article to offer advice that might well benefit those who ask for and attempt to walk the ancient path. He says, "Sometimes it takes me a long time to find center and settle into stillness. More and more," he says, "my contemplative practices include daily detox by which I have to come down from the high of addiction to others' opinions, incessant input, stress-produced adrenaline, and ever-present anxiety about, well, you name it. Daily detox. Pete, that kind of sounds like, makes noise sound like an illness. Well, the words noise and nausea actually share etymological roots. Noise is, or can lead to, a sickness that needs regular treatment. Soren Kierkegaard wrote, "The present state of the world and the wholeness of life is diseased." He says, "If I were a doctor and my advice asked, I would reply, create silence. Bring people to silence. The word of God cannot be heard in the noisy world of today. Therefore, create silence." Silence is a much needed daily detox, the antidote of prevailing noise that rings out around us. Silence is needed not only for health, but as Elijah finds out, silence is often the language spoken by God. Elijah was used to hearing God in big and powerful ways, but it was not in the wind, nor in the earthquake, nor in the fire that God spoke to Elijah, but in a still small voice, or as the original Hebrew says, in sheer silence, utter silence. Could it be that silence, sheer silence, is very often necessary for hearing the voice of God? Sound may serve to get our attention, but it is in silence that we get the message. The noise of earthquake, wind, and fire got Elijah's attention so that he was prepared to pay attention in the silence that followed. There's nothing more creative, nothing more redemptive than a divine word spoken in the silence. A word of companionship in the silence of loneliness. A word of forgiveness in the silence of alienation and hurt. A word of hope in the silence of despair. Sometimes a silence need not even be broken by sound. How much noise does an embrace make? How loud is an understanding or compassionate gaze or a clasp of hands? Silence is that moment when God does all the talking and we do all the listening. Elijah would tell us that even when we are committed to an ancient path, running as for our very lives for the whole of 40 days, we may still miss hearing the voice of God. On whatever path we may choose to walk, it is necessary, at least from time to time, preferably on a regular basis, daily, many times a day throughout the day, to ascend the mountain, to step away from the noise of the world and all its distractions, to enter into silence and just wait, creating a space in the middle of all the noise, space within ourselves that is prepared to listen and receive what the voice of God would speak to us. We need to sit in the silence until we become more fully aware of God's presence with us. Leading the way for the many desert fathers and mothers who would follow him into the desert was Abba Anthony the Great. Abba Anthony said, "Just as fish die if they stay too long out of water, so the monks who loiter outside their cells or pass their time with men of the world lose the intensity of their inner peace. So, like a fish going towards the sea, we must hurry to reach the silence of our cell, for fear that if we delay outside, we will lose our interior watchfulness." The prophet Jeremiah tells us to stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask, where is the good way? Then walk in it and find a resting place for yourselves. Count Elijah among the desert fathers and mothers who tell us that the good way is the ancient path of silence. By way of the path of silence, we will hear the voice of God and find a resting place for ourselves. By way of the path of silence, we will gain purity of heart that encounters the very presence of God. By way of the path of silence, we will find our interior watchfulness that leads our parched souls to the life-giving waters that flow forth in the desert places of our soul. The ancient path of silence is the good way. Let us walk in it. Amen.